Okay, so you got Hell, Abaddon, and the Lake of Fire. Two of these things are entities. Or actually, we could say even Hell, the Abyss, and the Lake of Fire. Death, destruction. Two of these things are entities. Only one is an actual place in the Bible. Isn't that weird? We're going to get into that because this is really exciting. And this actually comes from my upcoming article for May for Skywatch TV magazine. If you haven't had a chance to get the magazine, you can go to skywatchtv.com and get it there. But I love this kind of stuff because it's just weird biblical stuff that you're never going to hear in church, but it's accurate, and you can go into the Hebrew and Greek to actually see how this plays out. We're going to talk about this. So when it talks about when death and hell are thrown into the lake of fire, that actually probably should have been what I started off with. You have death, you have hell, and you have the lake of fire. Two of these things, two of these three things are entities. Maybe I'll title it that. Maybe I'll title this video that. I don't know yet. But when you read that death and hell are thrown into the lake of fire, how can a place be thrown into a place? Or is it just an idea? So we're going to get into all that. It's really interesting. Now, if you haven't had a chance to do so, head on over to joshpeckatdisclosure.com and you get all sorts of free daily stuff. Daily, every single day, it's updated with free stuff. Free podcasts, videos, lots of stuff. And if you can, go to the donate page. And, donate. You can do a monthly donation if you'd like to. If you'd like to set that up, it makes it really easy. You don't even have to have PayPal. You can do it with a card or even a money order or a check. If you'd rather send something in, you can do that. I have a P.O. box for that. Now, if you'd like to, you could even go to patreon.com/Josh Peck. And for as little as $1 a month, you can become a Peck patron. So you'll get all these videos like you're getting them now. Right on Patreon, but you'll be entered into contests, upcoming contests, and depending how much you give, if it's $1 or $3 or $5 or $10, you know, whatever, there's special prizes for everybody who does that. So, for example, if you give $3 a month, then you get a copy of my book, Quantum Creation, and it's a PDF, but you'll be able to get that. And there's increasing like prizes for, depending on, how much you donate. But, if you're not in a position to donate financially, that's okay. You can donate your time by sharing this video and getting a conversation going. This is one of the cool things about the Bible. A lot of atheists don't really know this kind of stuff. Actually, really a lot of Christians even don't know this kind of stuff about the Bible. But it's really interesting, and it can lead to a discussion about Jesus, about salvation, about the gospel, and about making disciples of all nations, like we're commanded to do, the Great Commission. Because it gets people thinking, you know, if I was wrong about this, I wonder if I'm wrong about, you know, some of this other stuff. You know, GQ didn't tell me about this when they said that the Bible was totally overrated. You know, of course not, because they've never read the thing. Believe it or not, sometimes in the Bible, hell is a person. Now, I'm sure when you first listen to that, that's going to seem strange. Like, what? How can a place be a person? Or is it just a representation? Is it a metaphor? These are the types of questions that can come up when we consider certain Bible verses like Job 28:22, which says, destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. Okay, destruction and death. So you have two kind of ideas. But they're saying things and they're claiming that they're hearing things. So is this a metaphor or are these, people of some kind or spirits? Now, the word for death is used there. It comes from, and I'm going to butcher all of these Hebrew and Greek words if we get into Greek. I will butcher all of these because I'm not a scholar, but I will try my best. So the word for death comes from, in this context, comes from the Hebrew word maveth and means death, dying, death with a capital D, personified, or realm of the dead. And you can go to blueletterbible.com and look this stuff up. It's a really good resource. But we can see that when maveth is used, it can be talking about an idea, a location, or a personification, a proper name. All we need to do is take it in its context. So the first thing that we need to address when trying to learn something from the book of Job, we have to be careful as to who's speaking in the narrative, because Job has some friends who throughout the whole book, they speak of their false ideas that misrepresent God. So at the end of the book, God rebukes them for this behavior. So we need to keep this in mind so we don't inadvertently adopt the same skewed beliefs that Job's friends had. Now, that's not to say that there is false teaching in the Bible, of course. We can look at it this way. It's true that they said that, but what they said is not true, if that makes sense. So in the verse mentioned that we just mentioned, however, Job is speaking, so there's no cause for concern for this one. Now, being that there are personified actions attributed to death in Job 28:22, I tend to take the more personified approach in this interpretation. I think it's talking about a person, a spirit. I would even go a step further and say that personifying an idea seems to denote more of a metaphorical way of looking at it. So by giving something personified attributes that it does not actually have, we can gain a better understanding of the idea. So an example of this would be a term like table legs. A table doesn't have literal biological legs, but we use that term to describe the function of the table legs, making it easier to understand. So I don't believe that this type of thing is what we're looking at in Job 28:22. So a lot of times when we're faced with like a verse or a passage like this, and we're told that it's metaphorical in language, we need to be careful. I don't believe that this is always going to be the case. Sometimes it certainly is. But we got to be careful because sometimes it's not. I believe taking this approach with a broad stroke across the Bible actually causes more confusion than answering questions. It's kind of like the opposite problem if you take it hyper-literal and you say everything in the Bible is perfectly literal, which can clearly be shown to not be true. So we got to take everything in context. So in Job 28:22, we have a very literal and direct language that's being used. Destruction and death are actually speaking. They're making reference to the action of hearing. They even go as far as to claim that they have ears. So I believe that we're dealing with two spiritual entities here. So we can look at this further by looking at the original language that is used to describe destruction. So the word for destruction in this verse actually comes from the word Abaddon or Abaddon, meaning place of destruction, ruin, or the proper name Abaddon, which is really interesting. So for most of us, that will immediately read as familiar. Speaking of the locusts that are released from the bottomless pit, Revelation 9:11 says, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." So we're told specifically that Abaddon is an angel of the bottomless pit. And in the original language of Job 28:22, we find that same word, the name Abaddon. So this further shows that at least in this passage, death and destruction are referring to spiritual beings. That's what I personally believe. Now, another example we could look at is Job 26:6, which says, "Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering." So the personification here is a bit more difficult to pick out, but it is there if we know how and where to look for it. So first, we can identify who and what is being addressed. The word for hell is Sheol, meaning Sheol, underworld, grave, hell, pit. The word for destruction is the same as we looked at earlier. Now, at first glance, it would seem this verse is speaking of a place and an idea. We normally would think of Sheol as the abode of the dead and destruction as a state of being. Most times, that's correct. Most times, that's the correct interpretation. Here, however, I don't know if that's the case. I believe that we have the same entity called Abaddon and an entity called Sheol. Now, again, Sheol is a place, but sometimes you can have a name be a place and an entity. So there are times that Sheol might actually refer to a spiritual entity just the same as destruction can refer to the angel of the bottomless pit. So we can show that by looking at claims made about these two beings. First, the text says that hell is naked, and the word for naked comes from aram, meaning naked or bare. So either we're talking about a more physical idea of nakedness, or we're talking about a bareness or an emptiness. Now, when we think of the place of hell, or more accurately, Sheol, do we picture it as being empty? How could Sheol be the abode of the dead if there was no dead in it, right? So we can think of Abaddon or destruction in the same way. If this was not talking about the spiritual entity named Abaddon, but of a state of being, how does the idea of destruction not have a covering, not having a covering, how does that make any sense? So some have put forth the idea that this is speaking of the bottomless pit itself, that the entity Abaddon shares a name with this place he inhabits, and which it could be. But if Abaddon was just another name for the bottomless pit, then is it true that the bottomless pit has no covering? Well, consider Revelation 9:1-2, which says, "The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and air were darkened by reason of the smoke from the pit." So for the bottomless pit to be open, it must originally be closed. So clearly the bottomless pit does have a covering of some kind. So Job 26:6, I don't believe is talking about the bottomless pit. If Job 26:6 is not talking about a location or idea and is referring instead to spiritual entities, what is the verse trying to say? I mean, it might have something to do with the rebellion, the angelic rebellion, or the human rebellion even. Once someone, be it man or angel, rebels against God, they are without a covering. So I believe that that actually goes all the way back to the time of the Garden of Eden. So in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, they realized they were naked. I believe prior to sin entering the world, Adam and Eve had a type of covering over them. Now, whether literal or metaphorical, I don't know, but whether it was a light of God or something, I don't know. But I believe when Adam and Eve sinned, the covering was gone. And this is why God had to make them new coverings from animal skins that we read later on in the story. So I think that this applies directly to Job 26:6. If Adam and Eve lost their covering when they sinned against God, it would stand to reason that the angels lost the type of covering when they fell from heaven. And I believe what we have is an example of as above, so below, like that type of thing. The fall of Adam and Eve can be looked at as a shadow of the rebellion, of an angelic rebellion when angels rebel. And the same consequence applies. So this really gives a whole new meaning to the idea of Sheol being naked and Abaddon having no covering. I believe this concept of the fallen angels having lost their original covering is actually referenced in the book of Jude. Verse 6, the whole thing is just one chapter, but verse 6, which says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." So the word for habitation comes from oikerion, Greek, meaning a dwelling place, habitation, number one, of the body as a dwelling place for the spirit. So whatever this original covering was that the angels had before they fell, it was a dwelling place for their spirit, kind of like how our bodies are a dwelling place for our spirit. They lost their covering, which is why Sheol and Abaddon would have been referring to spiritual beings, or more specifically fallen angels, in Job 26:6. So when taken in context, that's the conclusion that seems to make the most sense. So the idea that a spiritual being can share a name with a location or attribute should not be cause for confusion. For example, in Mark 5:9, the demon horde are called legion because they were many. They were named, whether originally by themselves or somebody else, we don't know, but they were named for an attribute that they had. We even see shadows of this within humanity. When we look at the meanings of the names of the first people born in Genesis, we find that they were named after an attribute or they something they would fulfill in the future or something like that. We can also find examples of locations named after the person or people group that first settled there. Now there's you can do an interesting study on this if you compare the name of Magog in Ezekiel 38 with the children of Japheth in chapter 10 of Genesis. Or you could look into the children of Abraham with his third wife, Keturah, in chapter 25 of Genesis as compared to Ezekiel 38, specifically Sheba and Dedan. So it's not an uncommon thing. And I think that that's what we're looking at in Revelation 6:8, which says, "And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger, with death and with the beast of the earth." Now, it's difficult to tell because being originally Greek, the words are different than Hebrew, obviously. But I think that these are the same two spiritual entities that we looked at earlier. Death and hell are not referring to locations in this verse. I mean, if it were, the verse would lose all meaning and it wouldn't make any sense. You know, how could the place be on a horse and another place is following it somehow, but they have swords, and it doesn't really make sense. So either we have to make the whole thing completely metaphorical and poetic, which it could be, we take it a little more literally, just as spiritual beings, just as personifications we take them as proper names. So I believe that we could learn even more about the eternal fate of these spiritual beings in Revelation 20:14, which says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. So again, you have death, hell, and the lake of fire. Two of these things are spirits, not places. Now, normally we're told that the idea of death and the place of hell are thrown into the lake of fire. But again, how can you have an idea thrown into a literal place? And how can one literal place be thrown into another literal place? So this interpretation sort of loses credibility when you think about it logically. If we were to believe in a literal lake of fire, which I do, does it make sense to believe that the references to death and hell are metaphoric? So in my humble opinion, it's the spiritual entities named death and hell that are cast into the lake of fire. They have these names. So you have Abaddon and Sheol. They have these names because they have something to do with the idea of death and location of hell. But what those exact connections are, we really don't know. I mean, you can be, I think it's, if you're, like, again, if you go out and found your own city, you can name it after yourself. So you have the person who's like the king of the city, and then the city is like the same name. I think it's something like that, because Sheol is certainly a place. So is the abyss. So is the abode of the dead. You know, Sheol is the abode of the dead. Destruction is certainly a thing. Death is a thing that happens. So it could be the spiritual entity that's attributed with these things. But we don't know the exact connections, but it would be pure speculation, really, at this point, at least for me. There's probably others that would have some better answers for that. But maybe down the road with more study, there'll be an answer that presents itself. But this concept is sprinkled all throughout the Bible. There's lots of times when we're usually told a place or idea is being referenced when, in fact, it's a spiritual entity instead of a place or an idea. And if we do not let the fact that certain people/entities are named after attributes and locations throw us, let's not let that throw us, then we'll have a much easier time interpreting the meanings of many seemingly cryptic passages. So sometimes it will be talking about an actual location, sometimes it will be talking about an idea or attribute, and sometimes it will be talking about a literal entity. So all we have to do is take everything we read in context and allow the Bible to interpret itself. So really interesting stuff. There's more to that, I'm sure, but I think that's good for today. I am interested to know what you think about this. Leave me a comment in the comment section below and on Facebook if you'd like to. And once again, if you haven't had a chance to do so, go to joshpeckdisclosure.com. You get all sorts of free stuff updated daily, and your donations help keep that website up. It helps keep these videos free, helps keep me to not have to go to a subscription type of thing. I don't want to do that. I don't want to charge you guys money. I'd like you to donate freely if you can, but ultimately I want to put free content out there for everybody, regardless if they donate or not. So those of you who share in that vision and are able to do so, you can donate at joshpeckdisclosure.com/donate or go to patreon.com/joshpeck. For as little as a dollar a month, you can become a Peck patron and have access to all sorts of cool prizes and be entered in contests and stuff like that. But you can go get all the information at patreon.com/joshpeck. Okay, all that being said, thank you so much for joining me yet again. And until next time, love y'all, take care, and God bless.
Hey everybody, I have decided to start a Patreon site, and I'm very excited about it because this offers you at least one more avenue that can get us away from the YouTube and AdSense and all that ridiculousness that struggles so hard to shut down Christian conservative speakers such as myself. So if you want to help out, please consider becoming one of my patrons. That would be great. Now, it's only because of all of you guys that I've been able to continue doing this all these years. But those of you who are brand new, I cover things from a Christian conservative perspective, as I said before, but we also deal with some fringe topics, such as aliens, UFOs, ghosts, paranormal things. We deal with some things from the political realm, such as Second Amendment and First Amendment rights, things like that. But most importantly, we deal with the gospel of Jesus Christ, how best to present this information to friends who might not be believers. How do we talk to one another about these things? Well, we deal with all that, and I always take questions. I always take feedback. I always take advice, especially from my supporters. So if you haven't had a chance, go to my Patreon site, which is patreon.com/Josh Peck, very easy to remember, and consider becoming a patron for as little as $1 a month. That is nothing. And it would greatly help me out. It'll help you out. And as I always say, when we come together as a community, we can build something amazing together. So let's do that. Thank you so much. And until next time, take care and God bless.